With Montana News, I'm Cole Grant. Grizzly bears are repopulating areas of Montana that haven't seen them for decades, creating more conflict between livestock, people, and bears. Some ranchers are learning they need to do something that doesn't come naturally: change how they live on the land. MTPR's Aaron Bolton reports there are efforts in ranching communities to get their neighbors to buy in.
I have been to a lot of grizzly bear meetings.
As bears were hibernating in their dens this winter, the Blackfeet Stock Growers Association held a meeting in Shodo to provide a space for ranchers like Mark Hitchcock to talk about working alongside the growing number of grizzly bears on the Rocky Mountain front.
If the animals aren't there, our cattle aren't getting killed. If we can deal with the problem, we don't have to be refunded. I don't want to be.
The number of sheep, cattle, and other livestock killed by grizzlies in Montana is going up. And even though the state pays for some of those losses, ranchers say they face unseen costs, such as stressed cattle with lower pregnancy rates and end-of-season weights. Because of that, ranchers like Hitchcock can get fixated on how to reduce the number of bears. His daughter hopes to change that view slightly.
It's been a while since the wind wasn't blowing. We're supposed to get a storm, but...
Driving on her ranch near Valier in early February, Trina Bradley says she's seen bears on the front since she was a kid, but there are just more of them now.
But most of the time we just see where they've been, and those are the bears that we like to have here. The other ones are just in my yard, in my face.
Bradley steps out to open a gate to her calving pasture, where the soon-to-be-born calves will be at risk as bears come out of their dens in March and April. You wouldn't call Bradley a fan of grizzly bears, but she does hold a slightly different opinion than her dad and others on the front when it comes to what will happen when the threatened species is delisted from federal protections.
Another part of the challenge is convincing these people that even if they're delisted, they're not going to go away. They're not just going to disappear from the landscape. So
Bradley says ranchers need to live with that, and she wants that message to come from the Blackfeet Stock Growers Association, which is made up of ranchers rather than agency officials some may mistrust. Mike Madel is a grizzly bear biologist with Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, and he says bears can now be seen past Interstate 15, which is 40 miles from the mountains. He says they're not just traveling there in the spring, summer, and fall.
Most bears do return to the Rocky Mountain front and excavate a den up high. There are some female grizzly bears that are starting to hibernate, dig dens, and hibernate out in those wild, remote, high plains and river bottom habitats.
Madel says there's a larger diversity of food sources on the plains, and because of that, this new generation of cubs will likely be more reproductive, accelerating the population's growth. Madel has worked to write grants to fund conflict mitigation tools for ranchers and farmers closer to the mountains for years. And he says the need is growing in outlying ranching and farming communities.
And it's really becoming part of an issue for us that I didn't have to deal with a lot, like providing farmers with bear-proof grain bin doors.
That's why FWP recently hired a grizzly bear conflict specialist to help Madel with the workload. He adds that rancher-led efforts like Bradley's will help get people reluctant to work with government agencies on board. Bradley agrees and says ranchers need to feel supported with education, but also with the cost of reducing bear conflicts.
Funding is always a huge barrier. You know, electric fencing costs money, dogs cost money, everything costs a lot of money, not just for the initial setup, but also for the maintenance.
Bradley and the Blackfeet Stock Growers Association have been holding meetings across the Rocky Mountain front, trying to convince ranchers focused on delisting to turn their attention to reducing run-ins with bears. But tools to do that are expensive. A trained guard dog could run $5,000 or more, and an electric fence around a calving lot can easily cost over $10,000, depending on the size. That price tag can be a huge turnoff to ranchers already having a hard time staying in the black. Bradley hopes the meetings will catapult efforts within the Stock Growers Association to compete for grant dollars from state and federal agencies and nonprofits. She's also asking ranchers to get out there and tell their stories in order to let the public know what they're dealing with.
Ranchers are very private people, and we don't want to talk about what's going on out here because it's nobody else's business. But it's to the point that we need to talk about it, and we need to tell our story.
The private land trust group, Heart of the Rockies Initiative, works to fund several local farming and ranching groups working on living with bears. Gary Burnett is the group's executive director.
And so let's move and try to figure out how to retain grizzly bear populations, but how to retain these livestock operations. Because I've heard landowners say this, that, you know, we can do both.
He says there are success stories of ranchers and bears coexisting. It's been happening in the Blackfoot Valley for years. On the Two Creek Ranch east of Ovando, members of local conservation groups and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service are working together to unwind and set up about a mile of flangery. It's an electrified wire with red flags attached to it, meant to scare wolves away, which ranch manager Wayne Slatt says is one of his main issues these days. He hasn't had a grizzly kill one of his cows for about 20 years.
When you get your first depredation, emotions are high. You're very upset with the world and you want to go kill all the bears, and that can't happen. And you got to get over that and move on to the fact to what you can get done.
After the first time a bear killed one of his livestock, Slatt received funding from various nonprofits and government agencies for a roughly $17,000 six-wire electric fence around his calving lot. He's funded more electric fencing himself and installed shipping containers to lock up grain and minerals.
Because the bears did tear all the wooden doors off of all of our storage bins that we had.
Slatt was an early adopter of some of these tools, and over time, his neighbors took notice. He says local conservation group Blackfoot Challenge has been key in getting ranchers to the table. Executive Director Seth Wilson says a majority of ranchers here are using the nonprofit's help to pay for things like electric fences, and conflicts have gone down.
We documented a 75% reduction from 2003 to 2012. Last year we had a bump up of conflicts. And bears show us where we need to continue to do more work. And so we continue to face that sort of challenge, and we'll do that.
While the landscape and the specific mitigation tools needed on the Rocky Mountain front may be different, Trina Bradley says that's the kind of success she is shooting for.
We can work together similarly on the front, maybe not set up something like the Blackfoot Challenge, but we can work together like that in order to figure this out together.
Bradley says buy-in will take time, but she's hoping, like the Blackfoot Valley, neighbors of early adopters will take notice, and word of mouth will do the rest of the work. Aaron Bolton, Montana Public Radio News.